You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Primetime, live from the South Point, Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. Oregon with the pick. Life for the Ducks. Down 14-0, second quarter starting in the Pac-12 championship. Kelly with all the updates and all the live lines.
Yeah, I'm going to start in the NBA. The Heat up on the Pacers. Shorthanded Heat all over the Pacers. 104-86. 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Heat 14.5 and 221.5 live numbers for that game. Cavaliers all over the Wizards, 99-78. 10 minutes remaining in that game. Cavaliers 17.5-point live favorite. 217.5 the live total. We got the Nets up on the Timberwolves. This game at the half, third quarter, just getting ready to start. Nets up 59-55. Brooklyn, a 8.5-point live favorite, 219.5 live total. Hawks and Sixers at the half. Atlanta, 52. Philly, 44. Atlanta, a 6.5-point live favorite, 200.5 the live total. Rockets up on the Magic, 49-43. 3 minutes left in the first half. Rockets 6.5 live, 217.5 the live total. And the Mavericks up on the Pelicans, 13-7. Dallas, a 9.5-point live favorite, 196.5 the live total. Over in college football, the two games in action. UTSA up on Western Kentucky, 28-13. And that game's still at halftime.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Yeah. UTSA is a live 11.5-point favorite. 79.5 is the live total. Utah up on Oregon, 14-0. 14 minutes remaining in the second quarter. Utah, well, numbers just came off the board.
Oregon in plus territory.
Yeah, big play to Oregon. So that jumped from 14.5 to now Utah 9.5 and 58.5. The live total. As far as college basketball, we got one ranked game going on. Kansas all over St. John's, 80-63, 5 minutes remaining in that game. And then a couple NHL games going on. Rangers up on the Sharks, 1-0, 15 minutes left in the third period. Rangers -600, Sharks +420, 2.5 your live total.
Kraken losing?
Kraken not in action. No, they play later. I was going to say not in action.
They're going to lose then. Doesn't matter. They're pre-losing.
Your long Kraken vendetta.
I got a game, though, for you, Matt. How about this one? Jets and Devils at the end of one. It is 3-2 Jets.
Ooh.
Jets -380 live. Devils +290. 9.5 your live.
I wish all five of those goals to the team that's playing the Kraken tonight. I don't know who's playing the Kraken, but I want all five of the goals. Who?
Oilers.
All right, the Oilers. Oilers going to get that. The Oregon is like the least sexiest team for us to play the who would win in a mascot fight, because the answer is always just the other mascot.
They lose everyone.
Yeah, like,
have you not seen any of the Mighty Ducks movies? Come on, like they fly duck, together, man.
A duck is done so against anything. Like, I mean, it's like the worst. It's the worst one. We can never play the game with Oregon. It's just kind of like, hey, it's Oregon versus, and you'd be like the other team. Doesn't matter.
You need to listen to Emilio Estevez more. Okay, come on. There was a lot of lessons in those movies.
I've had an angry duck come at me before.
Have you really? I've had that happen to me too.
Yeah, at the park when I was like feeding them bread and stuff, and like one of them got like upset and come after me. But like even then, I'm not like scared of the duck. Like even though he's all like, you know, flapping his things and coming at me and quacking and stuff, like I'm not scared of the duck.
Yeah, no.
Like, even as a child, like I was like 9 or 10 or something, I'm still not scared of the duck.
Even at 9, you weren't scared of the duck? Of the angry duck?
Yeah, no.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, impressive. If like they attack you, unfortunately for them, they're like at perfect kicking height. So, yeah, it's, you know, if you were to be attacked. Yes.
Not sure they figured that out, though.
It might have also been because by the time I was like that age, I'd also hunted many a duck before as well. So I'm kind of like.
You had hunted ducks at 9?
You mess with me, duck.
Wow.
And you know what's happening. Like.
Man.
You were going to end up as...
That video game Duck Hunter was named after Matt Brown.
You're going to end up...
Matt
you're
and
end
I
up
did
food.
Not have the same mother and father.
You're going to end up dinner.
We're not raised on the same plot of land.
I've been hunting once in my life, Gil, and I don't think this would surprise you at all. Like, 2 hours into it, I'm like, I'm so bored.
Listen, notice I said when I was like 10, because as I got older, my hunting experiences went down like a lot because of that.
It's always Kelly screaming. This is lame.
Yeah, where's the flask? This is so boring.
The best is dove hunting.
Dove hunting?
Dove.
Wow.
Because they fly all over. Like you shoot your limit in like an hour and then you're out of there.
Okay.
Shooting doves, man.
I went quail hunting.
Here's the thing.
Wow.
I would. The stuff that got
hanging on your words.
Here's the thing: the things that got killed got eight. The things that got killed got eight, not by me.
Right.
I don't really like duck. Do you like duck?
I don't mind duck. I like a good. Oh, he misses the goal.
But what about doves?
Yeah, doves. What are you doing, man?
You eat doves. All those people back home.
Hunting doves.
I don't, but they do.
I don't
quail. They eat all that stuff.
I've never heard of dove hunting. I've never heard of dove eating.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't.
Huh.
Interesting.
Huh. Isn't that something? It's not just for sport.
I'm going to Google it right now.
They eat it. Yeah. Quail, the whole nine yards. I don't. I don't like gamey birds. Like, I don't like the gamey taste.
Yeah, sounds gamey. I like a duck dinner, though.
You'll do a
at
duck?
At times.
Ooh, yeah. Good duck.
Oh, good duck. What good is, duck is good duck.
What's that place? Mott.
Yes.
Mott.
Yes.
Ooh, good duck.
Mott, underrated.
I hope they take you there tonight. Get you some duck for your birthday.
Real good duck. That would be a pretty good.
Was that Mott 32? Is that the number?
Yeah, Mott 32.
All right, Seahawks.
Free plug here on the show.
Let's get through these so we can get to our picks, man. So we can get to our entry. Seahawks and the Niners. Niners 3-point favorites now on the road against Seahawks. No Debo. No Debo Samuel.
There are threes. There are 3.5s. So depending on which side of this you want to go, be sure and take a look around because again. It is much better to have the hook on there if you want to take the Seahawks. So be sure and shop around. So, yes, as you mentioned, no Debo Samuel, which is a big thing. Not that it really matters. Trey Sermon is out for them as well. But defensive tackle Maurice Hurst is also out for them as well. So he's another guy that is going to be out for them that's been a pretty good contributor for this squad. Dre Greenlaw, linebacker for them, that's pretty good in the rotation as well, also out. On the 49ers side of things. On the Seahawks side of things, Rashad Penny is questionable. Travis Homer, so that's both of those running backs that are listed as questionable. Damian Lewis is guard. He's doubtful, so that means out. And Alex Collins also listed as questionable.
They asked, three running backs.
Yeah, all three running backs. They asked Pete Carroll today, and he said it is certainly not out of the realm of possibility that Adrian Peterson would be active and play.
Oh, my gosh.
And so
let's go.
So there we go. Yeah. Because that's what that team needs. The spark they've been waiting for is Adrian Peterson to go in there at 2.9 yards per carry.
What's his running prop in this game? What is it?
I'll look it up.
What's it going to be?
You keep going, Matt. I'll check.
They probably don't even post it yet. I was going to say, they probably won't even post it yet.
No, I'm saying predict what it is.
Oh,
is what I'm asking.
27.
Well, what if all three of the others are out?
Oh, yes. If he is the guy.
Then it's got to be around 50,
it'll
right?
It'll be, 49.5, something like that or whatever. Because they just know that they're volume, right? Because they know they're just going to
under
ram it
and
into
And he's the
line.
Only guy. I mean, he's the only guy.
Under.
Yeah. Golly, this team. So I'm with you, Gil. I looked all week long to try to find a reason why I didn't love the 49ers in this, even without Debo Samuel, and I just couldn't quite get there. You know, I mean, if you look what they've been able to do in the run game over the last month of the season, and again, like, yes, Debo contributed to that, but they were putting him back there, but guys, it wasn't like he was getting 10 carries a game or anything, right? I mean, we're talking 3 or 4 carries a game. They just happened to be really good quality 3-4 carries a game that he was getting. And what was happening with all that is if you look at his receiving stats, those were actually way, way down. And they got Brandon Ayuk involved in the offense again. And he's having games now, getting a ton of targets and out of the doghouse with all that. And then you start to look and you go, okay, well, you know, even if Debo's out, it wasn't like over this win streak that he was, you know, going for 150 yards a game receiving or anything like that. I mean, he was just, you know, he was doing pretty cool as a gadget wide a running back, but that's about it, you know. And then you look at Seattle, and we've talked about this ad nauseum here on the show, but I mean, there's no doubt that Russell Wilson is playing at far less than 100% capacity and maybe far less than 80% capacity. I mean, it was some of the worst throws I've ever seen in the NFL, much less by Russell Wilson. I mean,
he was missing
wide receivers by 10 feet, over their head, like 10 feet over their head, and like way, way, way. I mean, it was craziness. And so we're talking a field goal here. 49ers control the ball. You limit the possessions that is anyway of a Seattle offense that is not good. So it hasn't been maximizing the possessions anyway. They haven't been scoring anyway. and now they get fewer opportunities to try and like throw the dart and hit the bullseye and things like that. And so for me, it's just I like 49ers a lot here. And
me too.
Maybe I'm on the wrong. Maybe I'll be on the wrong side and I'll be proven wrong. And Russell Wilson figured out how to throw much better in the course of a week with mallet finger, but I'm going to guess that he didn't.
The way you said with mallet finger.
This was the first time that I started reading that terminology of mallet finger too. And now every time I hear someone say it, I'm like, man, what did Ryan Mallett do? Like, I know he wasn't good, but just to have literally a throwing injury named after him is so insulting.
Interesting. I'm going to say this, and I say this with the whole warning sign, whole flashing red light blinking. I like my personal five this week, better than any week this year.
Oh, we might get a ram it through then, since we have nothing, no consensus.
Yeah, I do. I hate to say it, but I got a reason for all of them. I usually don't get close to liking five, which terrifies me.
UTSA again.
UTSA is just killing them. Just killing them. Is that a one-handed
circus catch?
Oh, nice.
All right.
Give it to them. UTSA going to go up if they count this. That is a catch, right? That's a total catch. 34-13, about to be 35-13 with an extra point. Meanwhile, Utah up 14-0 on Oregon after Oregon misses a field goal, a 44-yarder, and Utah trying to matriculate the ball down the field again behind their quarterback rising. So we'll monitor both championship games tonight. Two more games to get to, Sunday night, Monday Night Football, and then our Circa primetime entry, the jockeying begins. Beeson's primetime action.
You are looking live at primetime action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Primetime Action, live from the South Point. What a scene at the South Point tonight. Rodeo's in town, Matt. You excited?
A lot of cowboy hats.
A lot of cowboy hats. Flea
flicker.
A lot
of beards.
Flea flicker for Utah.
Belt buckles.
Belts. A lot of belt buckles.
When does it start? Is it going on right now?
Yes. It's currently going on.
It started Tuesday, I think.
At T-Mobile? Is it all out of T-Mobile?
Thomas and Mac, I believe.
Thomas and Mac.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's the national finals. NFR.
I know, I'm embarrassed. I didn't know the answer.
Rodeo. So. We cannot bet on our boy, though, because that's already done. That's
the bull riding. Yeah. So. Boy, is there bull riding? Is bull riding a part of this?
No.
Is it an event?
No, that's a whole separate league. PBR. Okay. That's PBR.
All right.
This is NFR.
Gotcha. No, I got that part, but I didn't know if it was. I'm going to shut up. Let's move on.
I was going to say, the more questions you ask, the fewer answers we will have. So maybe we quit here. Let's go to Sunday night. Denver and the Chiefs. Chiefs favored by not quite double digits here at this point. I think 9.5 is the prevailing number. That's what we're flashing up on the screen. Total 47.
Yeah, I imagine this is going to toggle back and forth between 9.5 and 10. Probably right up until kickoff would be my guess, because it seems like every time this hits 10, people take the Broncos, and then enough Chiefs comes back in to get it to back up to 10, and then it goes back down to 9.5. I mean, we talked about this when it was at 10, where it felt like maybe that's a Broncos bet at double digits, maybe it's a Broncos bet at double digits, but then I couldn't pull the trigger, didn't pull the trigger, and, you know, now it's sitting at 9.5, and I'm just kind of like, that seems like it could be a double-digit win, but I don't know, man. I look at this Chiefs team. They're coming out of a bye. I would like to think that they went in and started looking at some of the stuff that they were doing better on the defensive side of the ball over the last 3 weeks leading into that bye and figure out how to do that and do more of that and do that even better. And then on the offensive side of the ball, try and figure out, you know, again, why did they have success in the last couple of games leading in? Why were they more efficient coming in? And, you know, and maybe getting a little bit healthier obviously helps too. The other thing is on the Broncos side of the ball, they're just a pretty big injury list of Broncos that are at least going to be questionable in this. Offensive tackle Bobby Massey is questionable for them. Their other tackle, Garrett Bowles, is questionable for them. So that's two starting tackles for them. Corner Nate Hairston's questionable for them as well. Melvin Gordon's doubtful, so he's probably not going to play. Shelby Harris, defensive end, is questionable for them. So there's a bunch of guys here on the Broncos side that, you know, may not go in this. And that could really kind of sway my opinion on this thing, because I think the only way that the Broncos have success in this game is kind of running the ball, playing keep away. Don't let Mahomes and them on the field to kind of do their thing and all that. If they're not able to run the ball with any sort of success, then I think this thing has the potential to get out of hand. But with that, I mean, all that being said, it's not a bet that's in my account. I'm actually very interested in this game, even though it is a double-digit spread game, or, well, 9.5 as we sit right now, but nearly a double-digit spread game, because I do want to see what this Chiefs team looks like coming out of a bye, see if there's any new wrinkles, see if they figured some stuff out. Like, I'm very interested as to what this Chiefs team does look like, because I think that, you know, we were looking at these odds and where everyone stands right now and all that. I mean, I think that there is still a pretty good chance that Chiefs team ends up in that number one seed in the AFC.
Chiefs are the best bet in that number one seed market, that's for sure. Shop around for that, because we saw 4-1 at DraftKings. I think it 8-1 was available at BetMGM, as a matter of fact. So definitely the best bet in that market, I would say. Monday night, so much to talk about in this game. New England at Buffalo. New England with a half-game lead in the AFC East over the Bills. New England 8-4, Buffalo 7-4. Weather will be an issue, at least based on the forecast right now, looking at winds north of 20 miles per hour. And maybe some snow as well. Bills favored by just 2.5 now.
Yeah, it looks wet, windy, and cold for sure at this one. You know, probably snow showers, probably sustained 20-mile-per-hour winds. So gusts will be up over that as well. And then the temperatures are going to be below freezing, right? And so it's going to be pretty ugly there. There's no doubt about that. As we sit right now, as you mentioned, there are a few threes still available. So if you were looking to take the Patriots, there are some threes that are still available. 2.5s have started to pop here. 41.5 now on this total. Kelly, I forgot to send this to you, whatever. So I did take a piece of 43 on the under of 43 in this. I think even at 42, I would probably still play it. And there are some 42s that are still available out there as well. If you look, I mean, we've talked about this with this Bills team, and this continues to be the case. Like, the efficiency on the Bills side is just not there, right? I mean, like, they're not an efficient offense. And the one thing that they have been able to do, you know, at least somewhat consistently, is pass the ball. And then now here we are talking about the conditions in which this game is going to be played, you know. And you take a look at what they've really been able to where they've really been able to go is kind of like more to these plays where Josh Allen kind of, it's like almost like a broken play where he's just kind of making it up on the fly and stuff. And they've had a lot of success there as well. But again, that's just not, this doesn't seem conducive conditions to stuff like that. And what you do whenever you look on the Patriots side of things, like the things that they've done well over this win streak, which, by the way, as I talked about last week and that continued into this week, is they are the number one team offensively EPA per play since they started this win streak in the NFL. But what they've been doing is doing that on the ground. They've been doing that with a power running game. They've been doing with not asking too much of Mac Jones, but when they have asked of him, he's stepped up and he's done what they've asked him to do. But they have tried to they've not asked him to do too much, and they just go with what's really been working and play super solid defense. And with that, it's been good enough to, like, win these games fairly handily, you know, for a good bit of this, you know, last 5-6 weeks here. And so you look at Buffalo, and I just don't know in this type of deal, in this type of conditions, with the inaccuracy that Josh Allen has been really showing here lately, as it is anyway, right? I mean, now you're going to put him out there in 20-mile-an-hour sustained winds with gusts, you know, up to 30 miles an hour and all that. I don't like a lot of scoring in this, and I certainly think that this favors the New England Patriots a ton. They are really, really, really built for not only kind of games like this, but they're built to go against teams like the Bills, right? I mean, they just are, the way that their defense, the way that they play defense, the way that their strengths are is, you know, they don't allow big passes. They don't allow, you know, big chunk plays and things like that. They defend the run pretty well. They don't have to blitz a ton. They still get pressure with the front four. I mean, there's just a lot about this team, I think, that is built to really neutralize what the Bills do on the offensive side of the ball. So I have a piece of 3.5, like I said, that I took on the look ahead. And I figured it probably was going to get off 3.5. It did and got to 3. But, I mean, look, there's been some support on the Bills as well. I mean, this thing has gone back up to 3 from 2.5 at times. And so, you know, I think this is just one of those things where how do you view these two teams? Who do you think is better? What do you value in all this? Do you value the big-armed quarterback that's a little bit more athletic in these conditions and think that it's still going to play? Or do you kind of value this power-type running game, play strong defense, hold teams to low point totals, and then you just kind of get out of there and get it done in a workman-like fashion? So I tend to think that the Patriots' way of playing is suitable to this, and I think that especially against a Bills team like this.
Bill Belichick, the short shot per DraftKings to win Coach of the Year. Mac Jones, the favorite to win Rookie of the Year, plus 300 on Belichick, minus 300 on Mac Jones in those respective markets. Eric Eager was on the other night, and he made a comment. I'm curious. It sounds like you buy into this, which was, he said, the Patriots are built to beat the Bills, and the Bills are built to beat the Chiefs. You buy into both of those things?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems like how the teams were constructed, for sure, you know. And, like, the Bills, obviously, with their big aspirations of you know, making it out of the AFC, and then the Patriots with more short-term aspirations of, like, oh, you know what, let's just knock off the teams above us in this division here, and then we're going to make the playoffs every single year as it is. I mean, you know, the Bills' defense still ranks high in a bunch of different metrics, and you can only play the teams that you can play and that are on your schedule and stuff like that. That being said, they played the easiest schedule of opponents in the NFL, right? Their defensive strength of schedule is 32nd in the league. And so it looks better, I think, throughout the little, you know, the numbers next to them and the rankings and stuff like that than maybe actually is what this defense is.
Should be a great one. Monday night. Can't wait.
I'm so glad we'll be here for this.
Oh, yeah. So much football between now and then, but that should be fun, especially with the potential inclement weather, mainly the wind, not the snow, that could affect things. And it's fascinating because, again, this is a game where I'm guessing lines. I love the Bills Monday morning. Then I sort of saw the Patriots angle with the weather coming in. Then I kind of think that the Josh Allen factor will be the dominating force in a weather game like that. So I've landed on the Bills, but it's been a roller coaster of thought for the week. We'll see how it goes. We'll see what happens with our picks next. No consensus on any pick.
On any of them. We will have meteorologist Kevin Roth on with us Monday before the game, too.
Ooh, I like that. He's still doing his thing at Roto Grinders?
Yep.
All right. We'll do that. Picks next. Beeson's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Celebrate everyday MVPs by playing in the Fantasy Football MVP Challenge. Play free of this five part contest series and compete for a share of $50,000 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/MVP Challenge now to get in on the action. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Visa and its client financial institutions have not sponsored or offered this promotion in any way. Gil, Matt, and Kelly, Primetime Action on a Friday night from the South Point. Checking in, Primetime, Cowboys underscore Cubs 1, who said the drinking game earlier with the Cowboys walking up behind us.
Oh,
he
boy.
Has this update.
Oh,
he said, took some serious body blows during segment 6 and 7. Your no-guest/profile pick on screen is taking its toll. Having both Gil and Matt on screen is doing serious harm. I noticed we were doing wide shots more. We're
Tap
killing
out, man.
Him. We're killing him.
Because he might get 2-3 cowboy hats in one frame.
I mean, oh, yeah.
If he doesn't think the crew is in on this downstairs.
Oh, they're totally gaming it. Yeah.
It's Friday night for them, too. If they don't think they're purposely trying to get you cowboys, yeah, you're in trouble.
Look at all the cowboy hats in this.
Look at that. Oh, that's at least 7 or 8 right there.
And now we fight.
Sorry, man.
Fight!
All right, let's do it, Kelly. You're the master of ceremonies.
All right. Primetime Action contest votes. First week where First week where we haven't had a unanimous selection.
It is. Definitely.
It is. We've had at least one every week.
We have one conflicting vote and only one single vote. We have 6 double votes.
6 doubles?
Yeah, we have 6 doubles.
Oh, man, this is weird.
So look at this, baby. This is a weird week. I don't even know if this math makes sense, but yeah, I'm gonna go with it for now.
I don't even know if this is accurately tabulated.
Like, I don't even know if I
but we're going with it.
Let me know if anybody sees one that I'm missing.
I don't know if I botched this entire segment, but we're going with it. What do we have here? Oh, wait. Were the Vikings 7 in Circa Million? They kept it at 7?
Yeah, I kept it at 7. So, yeah, we got 2 votes for the Vikings at 7. Bengals at 3. Washington plus 2.5. Dolphins minus 4. Colts minus 10. 49ers minus 3.5. And then one single vote for the Jaguars at 13, which I believe was Matt.
That's Matt.
And then conflicting votes, Matt and Gil on Patriots and Bills.
I knew that was going to happen. I'm on 4 of the 2 votes, and I'm on the conflicting vote.
I think almost everybody has to be on 4, right?
I guess. You're the one who did the tabulation.
No.
You're in 5. You're
no,
in all
no,
5.
No, Matt's in 3.
Yeah. He's only in 3.
I'm in 4. And you must be in all 5.
Yeah, all 5 are yeah, the top 5 on the 2 votes are all mine.
Oh, man, this is going to be complicated.
49ers is the only one I didn't vote for.
Nightmare scenario.
Actually, it makes it really easy for me. You two go back and you guys figure it out. You fight.
So we're throwing out my Jags plus 13. That was
Jags
automatically
plus 13.
Gone.
Get out of here.
Yeah, that one's automatically gone. I mean, you know, there's we either have to shave down from 6 to 5 on the 2 voters, or there's ram it through possibilities.
There are ram it through possibilities.
Yes, there are. Bills Patriots being a ram it through possibility, but I almost think it's poetic that that's the one that ended up conflicting. I love the Bills at 2.5, though, I got to tell you. But of the 6-2 votes, man, I mean, we're getting the worst of it with the Colts. I'm on that with you, Kelly.
Yeah.
As we determined earlier.
I mean, that was my 5th toss-in. It'd be the first one I'd be okay losing.
It, for the contest, it was the worst. You know, it got to 10 too quick during the week. The Dolphins is the best of it before the Daniel Jones.
Yeah, that's
news.
The best of it. Washington's the best of
Washington's
it.
The best of it.
The
Vikings is the best of it.
Yeah, slightly, but yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's big, though, right? Because that's key, right? 7.
7.5 or 7, yeah. Yep.
I'm just indifferent to the Bengals one myself. Like, I don't hate your Dolphins at all, but the Bengals is the one where I'm like, really? You guys really like the Bengals that much? This is going to be difficult, man. How do we determine this?
So, I mean, we're getting a 2 point. I mean, if we should maybe just start putting them in one at a time, then.
Let's do
one
at a time.
We're winning by 2 points on the Dolphins.
Yeah, like we should be playing that, right?
Like we should be playing that. Right, a skeleton Giants team.
If that's how we want to determine it, if we get the best of it, that means, because, right, we're not in a position where we should be playing contrary because we're going to win
this. Yeah, we're not winning. It's the last week of the quarter.
Yeah,
we're not winning the quarter.
We're not winning the quarter. We're not winning the whole thing. This just did. Sorry to break it to everybody.
No, we're playing for pride now, guys.
We're playing for pride.
We're playing for pride.
Oh, man. So I think, yeah, let's do it that way. So Dolphins would be it. Should we just do it that way, that Dolphins, Washington, and Vikings should all be in?
Okay.
I think are we all okay with those 3?
Yes, because otherwise we'll never get through.
Yeah,
this.
I'm with you. Dolphins, Vikings, Washington, at least start there, Matt.
Because we got the best of the on.
We're getting the best
of
the numbers.
And does that mean the Colts are out because we got the worst of it?
It's 10.
Right, but it was better earlier in the week. So we're getting the current number. We could have, you know, in other words, it's what it is now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, though.
We could, I mean, of all of them, I would be fine with throwing out the Colts. I mean, obviously, that's not one of mine, so it doesn't.
I'm okay throwing that out. It was one of mine, and I'm okay throwing it out.
Just make the case to me about the Bengals. That's the one I'm not in on.
Man, I just think, for me, it's just more the Chargers' horrible rush defense and Joe Mixon, how well he's been playing recently. I think it takes even more pressure off of Burrow and what they have to do in the passing game. Plus, you're at home. I'm not going to get into the whole, you know, West Coast traveling east, but it is going to be cold. I mean, that we know. Yeah, I don't. I just think it's a team that's been playing better recently.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to make a big deal of it, but or do we get rid of the Niners because it's no Debo, and we're getting the worst of that, I guess, kind of.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily a fan of that play, but not like I'm just. That's what's tough is I don't like the Seahawks either, right? So I can't. Like, it's not what I'm gonna really fight on, but I don't love it.
So that's the one you didn't.
That's the one I did not select.
You didn't pick the 49ers because that's a Gil and I.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Me and you are Niners. Me and you are Oppo Bills Patriots. Do we fight on that at all, or we're willing to let that go?
Well, I mean, we're going to.
It's either a ram it through or a veto. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I think we just let that go.
And I guess we're both. And, like, it's other thing. I mean, like, we both have real life convictions as well. Too.
Yes.
I mean, so you have a Bills bet?
Not currently in the count, but I will.
Okay. Because I'm
just waiting for the weather.
I'm on the Patriots. And so.
All right.
I've got real life convictions.
So it's going to be 5 of 6 on the twos, and we already determined 3. So basically, we're picking 2 of 3 between the Bengals, the Colts, and the Niners. That's what this comes down to. 2 of those 3. Bengals, Colts, Niners. I don't care. Whichever 2 you want.
The Colts 10, as you say, if we're using the logic.
If we're using the logic, then we don't have the Colts.
Like,
and there's
a 3-point swing from what you could have got it.
That's what I was saying at the beginning. So we got to get rid of the Colts then. Let's do that. So I guess we could use the same logic for the Niners to some degree.
Well,
but the Colts is worse.
Well, I mean, the Bengals was 1.5, and it's at 3 now. So, I mean, all of them are kind of like.
So Bengals in. Oh, no, they're all bad, right.
Yeah, I mean, they've all moved. Wait,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Bengals and then Niners is the last one. He says getting 4 of his picks in.
Bengals and Niners. All right.
So there we have it.
So
the Colts is the one that's getting booted. Just for future, for full.
Let's make sure we keep track of this.
So for full disclosure, the 5 that I put in is an entry for me, and then the only other one is, my other entry is Jags out, and Colts in. So those are my 2 entries that I put in.
My personal is all on Bills, Vikings, Washington, Colts, and Niners. That's my personal entry.
Yeah.
Kelly, yours is?
Mine is Vikings, Bengals, Washington, Dolphins, Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we all put in
some
the
ways,
picks that we put in personally on the – okay.
In some ways, even though we didn't have one unanimous, we were kind of closer on this in a weird way than any other week.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I always do it that way because I always assume – like I always use whatever I'm going to play in the contest as my 5 picks for this because I always assume 1 or 2 are going to get messed around with because of the voting process.
All right, I'm good with it.
I really did play the Jags in one of my entries, and
I think you're,
it's
I think
more
you're,
of a because it's a contest entry to where I want to feel like where I talked through some of the reason why I would be on the Jags, and then I can have at least a little bit of validation if it does get there, even though I don't have the stones to put it in an actual betting account.
Stones, lacking stones. Yeah, no, I hear you. Contest different than actual bets, but these will all, when all said and done, most of these will be actual bets for all of us. We'll tell you what we have in our accounts here coming up after the break, actual bets that are in our accounts. By the way, college football right now, UTSA and the Conference USA Championship up 42-20, 5:18 left in the third quarter in that one. Just absolutely rolling Western Kentucky. Hilltoppers trying to make this a game, and Utah in the closing seconds of the first half of the Pac-12 championship, up 14-0, and inside the red zone, 2nd and 10 here with 31 seconds left, knocking at the dough in that one as Oregon is just a complete no-show. Would you draft Thibodeau first? I wouldn't, based on what I'm looking at here. But, you know, that's a conversation for another day. Our actual picks in our accounts next, VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at the South Point, Primetime Action. Gil, Matt, Kelly, glad you could join us tonight. Friday night, looking at Week 13 games of the NFL, Championship Week. What a great weekend of football. How great is this? Utah, by the way, did score. I didn't see if it was a botched snap or if they went for two. I don't want to see what happened, but it's 20-0 Utah, closing seconds of the first half, and Oregon just looks terrible. Meanwhile, their coach, Mario Cristobal, just offered an extension. The old well-timed extension. If you're an Oregon fan, you got to be like, really? We just did what? Oh, and a pick.
What a ill-advised.
It totally ill-advised. 8 seconds left in the
jumping
half.
Out of bounds sidearm sling.
And now Utah is on the cusp of field goal range with 8 seconds left, so they need one play, and they'll try to kick a field goal. What a horrible decision. Oh, my God.
I thought he was just trying to avoid the sack and throw it out of bounds. Why would you throw it back in the field of play?
Oh, my God. Was he out of bounds? Let's see. He was. Hold on. Foot is. No, I think he got rid of it. I think he threw it before that foot landed. Oh, that's terrible. They'll review that. But that's a
that guy just was kind of like, are you seriously throwing it? I'd love to see his face under the helmet. He's like, I think he's throwing the ball right to me.
If this stands, and I think it will, that is terrible. And Utah with a chance. Yep, it stands. Utah with a chance to tack on a field goal here, although I didn't get the yard line. It's probably a long field, so they want to probably pick up some yardage here. They have their full allotment of timeout, so they can do anything with this play, but they'll try to pick up some yardage, try to get to the locker room with a field goal attempt. Yeah, it's too long of a field goal right now. It'd be 55 yards. And now what's this call?
Oh,
didn't get the snap
ball.
Oh, boy. What is this? Oh, timeout called by somebody here before the play. So.
Oh, they've got all three timeouts.
Yeah, they could do anything with this play. They'll try to. 8 seconds, just enough time to comfortably run a play, too, to try to get an easier field goal. But
good
boy, oh boy. Gets from bad to worst for Oregon here in this ball game, late stages of the first half.
Moral of this this other game up here is don't wear chrome helmets.
Western Kentucky
not doing you any favors.
Western Kentucky trying to make a game of this. Worst beat in the history of any sport ever was a Western Kentucky Central Michigan Bahamas Bowl, where Western Kentucky.
I kind of remember that.
I was on the wrong side of this. Well, not the wrong side. I took the bad beat. Western Kentucky was, I believe, a 2-point favorite, something like that. And they led going into the fourth quarter by some ridiculous score. And Central Michigan scored 5 touchdowns or something like that, unanswered, in the fourth quarter, including one with 1 second left in the game.
Yeah, this was the 2014 Bahamas Bowl
yeah.
with a 34 points scored by Central Michigan in the fourth quarter. 34 to nothing.
When everybody says the Belk Bowl, that Duke Belk Bowl is the worst beat of all time, no, it's that Bahamas Bowl. Hands down, never to be beaten again. This is a 50-yard field goal from Utah to try to go up 23 to nothing, and he's going to sink it if it gets there. Did it? Yes. Wow. 23 to nothing. Utes at the half.
Pumped.
Whew. Let me tell you something. Brown, not ready for primetime.
The best part about that Bahamas Bowl, just looking at it, it's like it's just such a gambling thing that we remember it that way.
Never forget it.
Because Western Kentucky still won the game.
They won the game, right, but didn't cover
because of it. Right, yeah. And like, that's the only part we won't remember, though.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
I mean?
That's why it's hard for me to articulate it, because I'm like, wait, Western Kentucky still won, but they didn't cover. But I don't think about that as the better.
So
that was the worst
thing
I've ever experienced.
Did
in my
they
life.
Go for two? They must have gone for two and didn't get it.
Correct.
So they lost
something
49-48.
Like that. Yes.
Because they scored 34 in the fourth.
They had scored 28, and there was 1 second left on the clock, and then they ran this unbelievable play to win it or to get the last touchdown. You're watching it in real time, and you're like, as the play is developing, it's surreal. You're like, I cannot believe this is happening.
And then one thing we didn't do at the top, we should. We were here for it. We were here for the majority of it. Like, hat tip last night, it was the largest defeat in NBA history.
Yes.
So a little hat tip, and we were updating it as we were going,
wild.
Going, is that for real life? Is this real life? And then got the little notification, largest defeat in NBA history.
Grizzlies, without Ja Morant, beat the Thunder by 73 and led by as many as 78 at one point. So it should be stated, quite the comeback. By Oklahoma City Thunder late.
Yes, it was. So the spread of that game was 3.5. That ball.
3.5. That's okay.
So, yeah,
there you go.
Catching 3.5.
Yeah.
So even if you were betting on them, you wanted them to go for two and miss.
That's right.
You don't want to go overtime.
I remember that the decision at the end was when I had lost because of the decision. Because did they go for two at the end? I can't remember the details. But whatever the decision was, that was a loser for me at that point. and I wanted them to do whatever they didn't do.
Yeah, you were probably laying 3.5 with Western Kentucky and wanted Central Michigan to kick the extra point to go to overtime.
I wanted overtime.
Yeah, you wanted
I thought
overtime.
I was laying 2.5, but either way, I wanted overtime.
You were laying 3.5. Yeah, okay. Yeah, or whatever it was.
Still, it was ridiculous. Just the most ridiculous thing ever. Here are our picks that are actually in our accounts. So not our picks, but these are our bets that are actually in our accounts for pro football this weekend. Matt, let's start with you. What you got?
First bet that got in there were these teaser legs here. This was a deal where I wasn't worried about putting them in a week in advance. The Cardinals were on bye, so there wasn't a chance for a major injury in that situation. And then from the Vikings and Colts side of things, it was just because of the opponents that I wasn't really all that worried about getting them in early. So that's one of the things I will say. Like, I don't typically do these super long, you know, in advance bets, but with the Cardinals, they were on bye, so it wasn't like any major injury could possibly happen with them. And then with the Colts and Vikings, with the opponents that they're playing in the coming week, with the Lions and the Texans, I wasn't really worried about how, you know, that played out from an injury standpoint as it was anyway. So got those in there super, super early. And that Colts line, the reason I wanted to get a couple of those in there was I figured it was going to move. I didn't think it was going to run as much as it did. But to get them from 7-1, I feel pretty good about. Took the Patriots way early when there was the 3.5 was available. Again, I keep saying this. I just think that this team, you know, in these conditions with what's going to have to what I think is going to have to be the metric for success here is ground game success. They have a huge advantage from that standpoint. And then, you know, from the defensive standpoint, they have, I think they have a better defense than the Bills, even if the metrics don't agree. So like with the 3.5 there, Cincinnati opened at 1.5. I tried to get that, wasn't able to, but did get the 2 when that popped up. This team to me is just a better team than Chargers all around. For me right now. I mean, like, if you look at literally every single position to me, I just think it's a better team than what we're getting with Los Angeles. And then here's the other thing. I mean, like, not that this is a huge, huge deal here, but it's going to be cold. It's going to be a little bit windy. It's going to be a little bit rainy there in Cincinnati as well. And you are getting a California team coming out there for the first time, probably playing in the cold, you know, kind of the cold, gross stuff. So that certainly doesn't hurt in a thought right there. Dolphins, like I said, the smoke was real heavy last night that it was going to be no Daniel Jones and no Sterling Shepard. The Kadarius Toney thing is just an added bonus for a bet on the Dolphins at 4.
Look at that board, man. That is a clinic in getting the best of the number though from you.
Yeah, it was fortunate.
With your CLV, you should be able to buy so much.
Yeah, it was fortunate. And honestly, just the 49ers at 3 is because they don't juice here. So
right.
Like they moved it to 3 and I didn't have to pay any extra juice because they moved it to 3 and you don't.
No juicing at the South Point.
Yeah, no juicing at the South Point. And so when they moved to 3 and you get that without the juice, so I was like, all right, well, you know, I kind of like the 49ers as it was anyway. And then if I don't have to pay the juice on the 3, the only place in town that you didn't have to pay the juice on the 3, then I'll go ahead and not pay the juice on the 3. So well, there it is. And like you said, Gil, prove me wrong with this, with the way that I think this is going to go.
All right. I also did a Vikings-Colts teaser early on. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it quite through the 3-0, I have to admit. Vikings-Colts, so not early enough. Cowboys was a boon last night every which way, just a big one. I don't ever tease anything typically besides professional football, but I made an exception with OSU because I think that defense and the low total makes this a different proposition. Every rule has its exception. That was my exception here with the Cowboys at OK State. And I did take Georgia early in the week. I thought that was going to get higher. It did get to 7 at one point. But I'm on Georgia. Prove me wrong. Bama tomorrow. Kelly.
Yeah, I'm in on the Bengals, -2.5, in on that with Matt. And then I've got, a bunch of teasers here. I have Cardinals -1 to close out a teaser from last week. I have Colts, and then what you're seeing on the screen, Colts -1.5, Vikings -1, Colts -1.5, Cardinals -1. And then I did add one during the show, another Vikings leg, Vikings -1.5, and Washington football team up to 7.5. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything else here. Nope, that would be everything. So a couple bets off the graphic, but that's everything I got this week.
And I had Vikings -7, which was not pictured as well either. That's the one straight that is in the account for this weekend. Buffalo, I'm going to wait for that weather report to become more solidified before I put that in. For Matt Brown, for Kelly Bidlin, Gil Alexander, thanks so much for watching tonight. Good luck with all your bets tonight and this weekend, college football, pro football, and beyond. Nightcap next. Tim Murray, Sean King from Circa. Enjoy from from VSiN, that is, the Sports Betting Network.